I'm Paul Harris. Ian Geist, Dan Strauss here with me, and now we're joined by our news director, Colin Jeffrey, who has put on his cape and his tights and turned into his showbiz alter ego, Showbiz Boy, America's favorite showbiz superhero. Hi, Colin. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing just great. Nice to
like
see you again.
I like those tights.
Hey.
Don't look at him from that angle.
Yeah.
Shield your eyes. This segment, not safe for Dan. So we have a little bit of showbiz news to get to, but also a couple of movies that came out this week. Which one do you want to start with?
Let's start with the one we didn't review.
Okay.
It looks horrible. Transporter Refueled.
Mm-hmm.
Because when a movie's been out of commission since 2008 and the lead star wants nothing to do with it, let's make a straight-to-DVD movie that we decided to put in theaters. I haven't heard a good thing about this. I talked to three people who saw it, and they said it's awful.
Speaking of movies we didn't see, last week we did not review the Zac Efron movie. What's it called?
Oh, my gosh. We Are Your Friends.
Okay. Apparently, Zac does not have that many friends, because I saw the box office numbers on this, and they are the lowest.
It's one of the worst flops. And the other two movies that have done worse than it, you've never heard of, because they're kids' movies.
Mm-hmm.
It released in more than 3,000 theaters and made a whopping $1.8
million. Wow. Wow. That's nothing.
It's so bad. It's the third worst, like, widespread release of all time. Now, we talked about this a while ago with streaming and all of this affecting theaters. Theaters, when they pick up a movie, have to keep it for 2 weeks. And have to keep it in essentially the same numbers of theaters for 2 weeks.
And also, people think that when a big blockbuster movie comes out, that the movie theater makes a ton of money off of that movie. The fact of the matter is that more than 90% of the ticket revenue that comes in goes to the studios that distribute these, not to the ticket office and the management of your local movie theater or the chain that owns them, AMC or Werenberg or the Skyview Drive-In or whoever it is. First-run movies don't make a ton of money for ticket sales. Those movie theaters make it all up at the concession stand, which is why popcorn and soda is $12.
Yes. And to give you an idea of how bad this is, that's an average per theater for the weekend of around $600. At a conservative $10 a ticket.
Uh huh.
60 people
went to each theater that was showing that
over
movie.
3 days.
Over
not per day. That, over 3 days.
You know, you realize that means that there were times when the only thing in that theater was the light being projected onto the screen. No human being saw what was there.
That's really, really bad.
Wow.
And that's an average. So that keeps places like L.A. and New York City in with, like, you know, Fargo.
Yeah.
Where I can't imagine. So this week again, there will be another empty weekend of theaters.
That's amazing.
And they are going to be. Now, what they will probably do is cut down on the number of screenings. You will be able to see We Are Your Friends at 10:30 Sunday morning.
Or
on
night.
Screen 14. It will be airing in the lobby of Werenberg Ronnie's. That's where they will be showing it for free.
They will not be doing that. But people would go and then blame us when it didn't happen.
Yes.
Now, does that mean that somebody's going to go, you know what? We're not even going to bother making a DVD of this.
Someone will make a DVD.
Because I know there are movies that did not do well in the theaters that later became hits or maybe even a cult
hit
on
cult
DVD.
Classics all the time. This is beyond that. I mean, this is such an horrible bomb.
How does a movie become that much of a stinker? I mean, I don't really know anything that Zac Efron has ever done, but he has some kind of following.
Well, he was in The Neighbors. He was in with Seth Rogen and, I'm going to forget her name. And he was in High School Musical. That's what really launched him.
Okay, well, there's a big franchise.
Wasn't he in 17 again?
Yes, he was with Matthew Perry.
Okay, yeah. So he's made some movies. You would think that he could open up and get more than 60 people into the theater.
This was aimed at young people.
Yes.
The story is he is a DJ who is struggling and has to promote parties, and he finds the rhythm in his own life that causes him to be a successful club DJ.
Okay, now if you had told me that that movie opened up and it made whatever it made, but then the second week it dropped off by word of mouth, the box office numbers dropped 80 or 85%, I would go, okay, well, that's a bad movie, and people who went told everybody, don't go see that movie. But how do so many people know not to go see that movie in the first place?
They aimed it at a segment of the population that consume so much of their media off YouTube.
Oh.
Like, that's the real problem. These people want that sort of age range wants a lot of entertainment for free.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're saying, hey, go see this movie about a DJ.
Mm-hmm.
It just...
But they would turn out for a blockbuster movie, wouldn't they?
Yes, I barely made it through the trailer. And that's 2.5 minutes long. So, yes.
We are your friends.
If you can find it, go see it, because I want to hear where you saw it. I'm curious who's showing it and when.
Yeah.
Fandango's giving the tickets away with a purchase to any other movie.
No, they're not.
No, they're not.
Don't get that deal. That doesn't exist. All right, now let's talk about movies that are opening this weekend. I would like to start, if you don't mind, with a movie I saw on Monday. Monday was August 31st. And I know that we've talked about how August is a terrible month for movies, and this year August proved it was a terrible month for movies. We slammed more movies in August than we did back in February, the other bad month of the year. Mm-hmm. It's a six-month cycle. Those two calendar months are always horrible for movies. And I thought, okay, well, this movie may be showing at a press screening on Monday night, August 31st, but it's not opening until Wednesday, August 2nd, 2 days ago. So it's September. Technically a September. I'm sorry. Yeah, technically it's a September movie, mm-hmm. So it can't suck. Wrong.
Uh-oh.
The movie is called A Walk in the Woods. It is based on a book that Bill Bryson wrote in 1998 about he, a guy in his 40s, and a friend of his, also in his 40s, deciding on a whim that they're going to try to walk the entire Appalachian Trail from Georgia all the way up to Maine. It is something like a 2,000-mile trail, and they are going to walk it because he feels like he wants to have the experience, he wants to be outside, and he talks his friend into it, or his friend gloms on, and the two of them go off on this walk.
Wasn't there just a movie out?
Wilder.
Yes.
And this
with a similar plot, right?
No, that's completely different. That's Reese Witherspoon.
Right.
And she's on the Pacific Crest Trail.
Oh.
That's on a completely different coast,
okay.
Ian.
Oh, wow. What was I thinking?
She's only walking 1,000 miles. This is 2,000 miles.
Okay. Well, this movie's got to be twice as good then.
Yeah.
I'm making a movie.
Two actors, so that's four times as good.
I wasn't thinking.
What's the movie you're making, Dan?
I'm going to get Ian and Archie and me, and we're going to do the Katy Trail.
Yes.
And we'll make a movie.
There you go.
But
some video as you go along the way.
This is Robert Redford, and I heard that he had this written a long time ago and shelved it because he wanted to do it with Paul
Joaquin
Newman.
Phoenix?
Paul Newman.
No, but he wanted to do it. Yeah, no, Joaquin Phoenix. Walking Phoenix. He wanted to do it
with Paul Newman.
Yeah, Paul Newman. And since Paul Newman died, and then he did another movie with Nick Nolte.
Somewhere along the way.
And then he liked Nick Nolte, the chemistry between them, and then he brought it back off the shelf.
Yeah, well, in this movie, Robert Redford plays Bill Bryson. Now, you remember how old I said Bill Bryson was when he walked it?
Yes.
Mid-40s or so?
Yeah.
Robert Redford's 79 years old. And there's nothing against a 79-year-old person going out for a nice walk, enjoying nature, et cetera, et cetera. But it's going to be boring. And it's also going to lead you to a lot of stories about, oh, we're old and in our 70s, and so we're creaking, especially Nick Nolte, who's not a svelte 70-plus guy. He is an out-of-shape.
Is this the first major thing he's done since the whole crazy hair mugshot?
Maybe. I think he's had a couple of supporting roles here and there, but I don't think he's been doing a lot of major work.
Do they pee a lot since they're older?
Yes. A couple of times they have to stop and find a place. And
oh.
Maybe we could stop right now, not to pee, but for me to do my world-renowned Nick Nolte imitation.
Oh, okay.
You know, I don't do long, extended impressions. Dan can do a voice and stay in that voice.
He's short and sweet.
And he can do it for a long time. I do 2-second imitations. I'm famous for my Christopher Lloyd as Reverend Jim. I'm famous for my President Richard Nixon. And I'm also famous for this one, Nick Nolte, in the movie 48 Hours, co-starring with Eddie Murphy, who this is the first time they go out to see Nick Nolte's beat-up car, which is a convertible, and Eddie Murphy calls it a POS. And in defending himself, Nick Nolte says this. He says this. I'm a ragtop man. Thank you.
There you go.
thank you very much.
Spot on.
Wow. I thought I was watching the movie. Man.
I told you, they're obscure and they're short. Over and done with. The explanation takes longer. The setup takes longer than the damn impression. Well, in this one, you get a lot of that voice out of Nick Nolte.
Hey,
throughout the whole
good thing,
he still got the whole voice. Now I'm doing Carney. So they're in their 70s. By the way, Robert Redford in the movie is married to Emma Thompson, who I think is in her mid-50s. So that's the Robert Redford version of a May-December romance.
Uh-huh.
Her entire role in this movie is, when she hears her husband wants to do this, to tell him, no, you can't do that. Don't be silly. There's no way I would let you go and do that, which, of course, tells you that they're going to go off and they're going to do that. And that's the way the movie keeps on going. And there are pretty views along the way as they walk along the Appalachian Trail. Frankly, I didn't think it was anything you couldn't see in a car. If you went on a nice drive across most of America, you would see a lot of the same things that you see in there. You also get to hear Nick Nolte repeatedly tell Robert Redford after each little mini adventure they have in there, you got to put that in the book, to which Redford always says, I'm not writing a book. Well, of course, we know that he is writing a book because the movie's based on the book. So why have the characters keep saying that over and over and over again?
Hey, you've got to put that in the book as well.
Suddenly they ran into Carney on the Appalachian Trail.
Hey, Bob. Hey, Nick. What you doing out here in the trail? Josh, look who's here.
They showed up at a restaurant Tuesday.
Yeah.
So it's a long walk with not very interesting dialogue. They run into some characters along the way, including Kristen Schaal from Last Man on Earth and The Daily Show, who basically just plays this annoying woman who they run into and then try to get away from. Mary Steenburgen is in there as the owner of a motel where they spend a couple of nights in a small town. Everything that happens in this movie is 100% predictable. It's also a boring walk through the woods. It is not worth your time. I give it a 4 out of 10. It's called A Walk in the Woods. If you really, really, really want to do something productive with your 90 minutes, instead of seeing this, go take A Walk in the Woods. You'll feel off. You'll feel better
off. That's disappointing because it's a comedy, right? It's supposed to be a comedy?
You couldn't tell by watching it.
Oh.
There's nothing funny in there. But don't go by me. I'm a ragtop man.
That's right.
Now, the other movie we have for this week is called Learning to Drive. You take that one, Colin.
Learning to Drive stars Ben Kingsley and Patricia Clarkson. Patricia Clarkson has played a mother in everything you've ever seen. I think that's the best. You will know her when you see her. If you're a fan of Parks and Rec, she plays Tammy One in Parks and Rec. This story revolves around Ben Kingsley, who is a Sikh immigrant. He had to seek political asylum in America, and he now teaches driving, which is good because learning to drive, and he is also a cab driver.
Mm-hmm.
And Patricia Clarkson plays a book critic, a literary critic, whose marriage dissolves. I'm not spoiling anything. This is the setup. And
the movie starts with the marriage falling apart, the husband saying, we're done.
Yes, and it moves on from there, and she, Patricia Clarkson, has a daughter with her now soon-to-be ex-husband.
The daughter played by one of Meryl Streep's real-life daughters.
Grace Gummer, mm-hmm. who was in Newsroom, if you saw her. I did not like her in Newsroom. And
Grace Gummer.
Yeah. And I did not particularly like her in this. I think she's just kind of a whiny kid.
Yeah. She's there as the exposition person.
Yes, she provides the MacGuffin. Why do we have to? Why does she have to learn to drive to go see her daughter? And yes, her daughter works on an organic farm, so we have to learn how to drive. And we find when the marriage dissolves, Ben Kingsley is driving the cab that the marriage dissolves in,
mm-hmm.
and plays sort of that invisible person.
Yep.
This movie was very charming to start. I like the setup quite a bit. I'm thinking, okay, I can see where this is going, but I buy it. I buy Ben Kingsley because he's a spectacular actor.
And because he's played an Indian before, Gandhi.
Yeah, pretty well.
The number one Indian.
He played it pretty well, I think.
Yeah, Academy Award.
Academy Award for that.
Yeah.
So I really liked the setup. From there, it became just very formulaic. Mm-hmm. I wasn't particularly surprised by anything. This director, and I cannot pronounce her name.
Okay.
But she is essentially the Nicholas Sparks of chick flicks. This is what she does. She does a very formulaic movie. It's a marriage dissolves, and there's a romantic tension either with the ex-husband or with another disinvolved, newly introduced character.
Mm-hmm.
The secret life of words that was so maudlin, it makes you want to puke. Elegy, which also starred Ben Kingsley, that's very maudlin again and revolves around a relationship between a professor and a student.
Mm-hmm.
So you sort of know what you're getting coming into this.
Well, I didn't know what I was getting because when I went to see the screening of it the other night, I was led to believe that it was going to be a light comedy.
Oh, you thought it's not a comedy.
No.
That's important to realize. She does chick flick dramas. Like they're Nicholas Sparks movies for women.
Mm-hmm. I also want to say right now, sometimes Dan asks us, is this a good date movie? I would not say this is a date movie. This is a chick flick.
Yes.
And it's the kind of chick flick where if you're the guy who went with the woman just because you wanted to be the nice guy who wanted to go see a movie she wanted to see,
yeah,
you're going to get a lot of either smacks with the back of the hand or a lot of punches on the knee as it goes along.
Yes.
You see how men are? It's that sort of thing.
It really is. And it shoehorns in this really unnecessary and uncomfortable romantic tension that I just did not buy. All of that said, it still has this sort of generic charm to it. And Ben Kingsley is never bad, I
right.
don't think. He's just very good.
And she's fine, too, Patricia Clarkson.
She's completely serviceable in the role, and I buy her.
I also liked Samantha Bee, who used to be on The Daily Show and is about to have her own TBS late-night show in a couple of weeks. She plays Patricia Clarkson's sister in this. I was happy to see her getting a movie role.
Yes, and then John Hodgman makes a cameo also mm-hmm. from The Daily Show. Just kind of odd to see them in there.
Yep.
But, yeah, it's there's nothing surprising in it. That being said, it's acted well. It's not horribly written. It leaves a few things unresolved. I didn't necessarily love that. Not everything's wrapped up at the end. But I gave it a 6 out of 10.
I gave it a 5 out of 10.
We're right in the same range
I wrote down rating 5 out of 10, more if female. Don't you think women will like
yeah.
this more?
Yes. And again, not a date movie at all because men are not portrayed in the most flattering light.
No.
That's...
My wife liked it more than I did, which is to be expected with this, and I think it's the kind of thing that women should go see in a group.
Yes.
Get 2, 3, 4 of your friends together, go see this movie together, and then go to have a few drinks afterwards and talk about how awful men are.
Yes.
That's one of those kind of movies.
Yeah, when I was watching it, something kept coming to mind, and it was Chef from last year that we both really, really liked. And that movie was very much sort of about learning how to be on your own and rebuild your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what this is supposed to be about. But that was fresh and funny and poignant. And yep. this was just kind of one note.
That's a good streaming video recommendation, by the way.
Yes.
Jon Favreau's movie, Chef.
I would highly encourage
it. If you didn't see it, you can get that now. Now, speaking of streaming stuff, Amazon has made a new thing possible for their Prime members.
Yes.
If you're a person who pays $99 a year to get a Prime membership so you can get that two-day free delivery of all the stuff that you might order from Amazon, you also get Amazon Prime Video and the Amazon streaming music thing for free with that. Well, the Amazon Video, as we've mentioned many times, is a much smaller collection than the Amazon paid video universe. They have mm-hmm. tens, maybe a million movies that you can watch and TV shows that you can watch and pay for, and maybe about 10 or 20,000 that you can watch for free as a Prime member. But they added a new feature this week, which allows you to download the movie or the TV show and then watch it when you're not in Wi-Fi.
Yes. This is great.
I think this is remarkable that they're making this available. Now, think about this. If you were to go on vacation and you were going to fly somewhere, you could download a movie and pay for it on iTunes, pay $3, $5, $8, whatever it is to get that, and then you'd have it on your computer and you get to watch it once and then that's it. But with this deal with Amazon, if you're a Prime member, you download it, you can watch it on your iPad or your computer or your phone. I don't know why people do that, but you know, watch it on your tablet would be the best way to do that. And then you own it, and you can watch it as often as you want without having to pay for the Wi-Fi on the plane to stream that to your tablet.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you go to a hotel on vacation and it's night and you want to show your kids some movie, you didn't bring anything along and you want to show them something streaming, a lot of motels and hotels have bad Wi-Fi. Low bandwidth Wi-Fi, and it keeps pausing and buffering, and it's a problem there. This way, you download the stuff for free before you go. Boom! You can watch it whenever you want when you're not in Wi-Fi or anywhere.
Yeah, and it makes you wonder what Netflix is going to do.
Because Netflix says they're not going to do this.
Yeah, I think it would be too difficult. They have so many more licenses out there, so many more companies they do deals with.
The quote from the people at Netflix this week was, there's no need for this because Wi-Fi is becoming more widely available.
Yeah.
Not everywhere, though.
Well, here's the other thing to keep in mind. Amazon makes a lot of money from their shipping. They make a lot of money from Prime. Where they make a huge chunk of their money is cloud computing. If you as a company need to do cloud computing to run some numbers or store some, you can buy server space, rent it very cheaply.
Mm-hmm.
Amazon has an amazingly large back-end system to be able to handle this.
You're right.
So they've got that going on their side. And I don't think it will be too long before Amazon says, not only can you download movies, but for $15 or $20 more a year, we'll give you 10 gigabytes of cloud storage where you can have Amazon Prime things downloaded and access them from any device,
mm-hmm.
anywhere.
Yep.
These are permanently down. That's what I think they're trying to get people to use all of their
now,
services.
I will say this service sounds cool, but if you're only going to be watching movies in your own house and you already have Wi-Fi at home,
you'll never use it.
You'll never use it. You'll just stream it the way you always did.
There's another streaming change this week, Hulu, which I don't know if you have. But you pay $8 a month for it, and
I don't pay for it, but I know what it is.
There are limited commercial interruptions, even when you pay the $8. There are typically a few commercials during the course of a show.
What?
Yes. Yeah, they still have to sponsor it. Well, now, for $4 more a month, so I believe we're up to I can't remember if it's $12.99 or $12 even.
Okay.
No commercials.
Okay.
I do not like this at all. I think this is horrible, because for Amazon and for Netflix, that both average out to right around $8, $9 a month.
Yep.
You do not have to deal with commercials.
Right.
And now Hulu, now granted, Hulu has deals with, you know, Fox or CBS that they get shows up very, very quickly. You don't have to wait as you do for Netflix for an entire season to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But I do not like having to pay additional money still for no ads. I think this is a goofy precedent.
Okay. One other story I wanted to mention here is the trailer for the new Will Smith movie Concussion came out this week. Have you watched the trailer?
I did watch the trailer.
Concussion is a story about a guy by the name of Bennett Omalu. Bennett Omalu, who was a forensic pathologist who was the first guy to identify CTE, brain damage, in the brains of professional football players who had died. He had looked into Pittsburgh Steelers legend Mike Webster. After he died, he checked out his brain and he saw something in there that was completely completely abnormal for a person of that age. He should not have had a head like that. A year later, he looked at the brain of another Steelers veteran named Terry Long, who had killed himself at 45 years old because of the brain damage he had suffered. Omalu said that this guy's brain looked like he was a 90-year-old Alzheimer's patient because of all the pounding that his brain had taken while playing in the NFL. Now, Omalu made these discoveries more than 15 years ago and tried to tell the world about them, but the almighty power of the NFL came crashing down on him when he went public with his findings. The NFL tried to discredit him as a fraud. They presented counter evidence from scientists that the league paid, you know, kind of like the tobacco lawyers and the climate change denier lawyers, all of those people who are paid by the big industry to deny the actual science. Well, they did that to this guy, Omalu, who eventually turned out to be right. There were other people, other scientists who looked into this, like Dr. Ann McKee at Boston University. She studied the brains of 79 deceased NFL players and found CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, in 76 of the 79 there. So there was definitely a link between football and brain damage. And the NFL kept on making a big deal about this not being true until just a few years ago when Congress started looking into it. And then they finally acknowledged the connection and said, we didn't really know this connection was there. Yes, you did. You covered it up. And they began making rule changes to try to address the problem. They haven't really done it, but at least there's been more attention to this. And all is because of this one forensic pathologist, Dr. Bennett Omalu. Well, in this movie Concussion, Will Smith plays him, and it is about the battle between a simple guy who's trying to tell the world about something bad that's happening to football players and the league that tried to shut him down. The NFL is going to hate this movie. Absolutely yes. Hate this movie. It's going to come out on Christmas Day, so it's going to be fairly late in the season, but right before the end of the season and right before the playoffs start in January, I think it's going to have a big impact. And if you haven't seen the trailer, watch it, and you'll say to yourself, whoa, this is going to be a big storm.
This is produced by Sony, or distributed by Sony.
Yes.
This was part of the Sony leak, and New York Times reports that those Sony documents show that the league and Sony lawyers censored the film in sorts.
But there was an update to the story, yes, in which Sony says, we did change parts of the story here, but not because we were afraid of the NFL. We wanted to make sure that we had everything 100% correct because we wanted to make sure that the NFL couldn't come later and say, well, they got this wrong and they got this wrong and they got this wrong. So obviously the whole thing is false.
Yeah.
So they only went back, Sony says, and went back and fixed those parts of the movie. They did not, they say, censor any part of their movie because the NFL was going to come down on them. And the reason Sony can say that is, of all the movie studios in Hollywood, they're the only one that has no direct connection to the NFL. Mm-hmm. They don't have any TV deals. They don't have any other deals with them. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see this.
Yes. Christmas Day. I won't be seeing Point Break, I don't think, on Christmas Day.
You'll see this one instead.
Yeah,
so it's got Will Smith, and the rest of the cast includes Albert Brooks, Luke Wilson, Alec Baldwin, Paul Reiser, and a slew of other people as well.
Yes.
Concussion, it's called. It's coming out around Christmas.
And the week before Christmas, Star Wars comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Huge movie. And if you didn't pick up your Star Wars toys that were released at 12:01 this morning, you may already be sold out.
Really?
I'm serious. Yes. In some places, they are already out. There were people lined up everywhere.
Were
I heard
you one of them?
No, I had to work.
Oh.
I know.
Oh, boy.
Didn't have a stand-in?
I missed it.
Wait a minute. It was almost 17 hours ago. You haven't been to the store in between newscasts?
I had to sleep.
They're sold out.
Oh,
you're going right from
you
here,
act
aren't
like
you?
You're a Star Wars fan.
I know. But this another piece of Star Wars news broke this week. Anthony Daniels, who is C-3PO, he said something kind of interesting. We haven't had any leaks come out of this, really. Star Wars Force Awakens. We don't know a lot about it. Well, he gave an interesting interview in which he said the secrecy's been intense, crazy. So crazy, in fact, that scripts were delivered on black paper in dark red writing, so they cannot be photocopied.
Wow.
He says he got a hangover trying to read this because it's so dark and difficult to read.
Huh.
Just one of those things. I'm always curious, how do they stop people from taking the scripts? Well, this is how.
Well, he used his android eyes to read the script.
So exactly.
That's how it worked out.
Yes.
The other movie story I want to mention here is that Cate Blanchett, who won an Academy Award just 2 years ago for Blue Jasmine, she has signed a deal to star as Lucille Ball in a movie biography of Lucille Ball.
Ooh.
Produced by Lucy Arnaz and Desi Arnaz Jr.
Whoa.
So you know there won't be anything juicy or scandalous in there at all.
Yep. Oh, man.
It's going to be written by Aaron Sorkin. I don't recall.
There will be lots of walking and talking.
Well, I don't remember that. The apartment that they lived in It was just, you know, Fred and Ethel walk in and they're all in the living room or the kitchen. How much walking and talking can there be?
We'll find out what happened as they walked up the stairs. Really, they're going to be on the 72nd floor of the building so they can walk up all the stairs for the
dialogue. I wonder if they're going to mention that Fred and Ethel hated each other.
You mean the actors?
Well, yes, William Frawley and
Vivian
Vance hated each other.
Well, they disguised it so well on screen because they got along great.
Hey, Ethel. Hey, Rick, what are you doing?
I'm going down to the club.
You know why he's going down to the club?
Why?
He's a ragtop man.
That's right.
It all comes full circle here on Impressions Theater, ladies and gentlemen. All right, Colin, thank you very much.
Thank
we'll see you in the newsroom in a little while. That's our showbiz segment. This is the Big 550 KTRS.